All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Hei 45. We're picking up on the bottom of Mem Dalud Amud Beis 44b, the Mishnah on the bottom. I hope everybody did their homework. I recorded from the previous Mishnah to this Mishnah. Excellent. I'm not going to test you. So says the Mishnah. Rabbi, say, it's a beautiful Gemara today. Shor Shehu Yotzei Lisakel. A shor that's going out to be stoned. Rabbi, say, so what is this a case of? This is a situation ultimately of a shard that killed a person. So remember again, as we've established, any shard that kills a person, whether the shard is tam or muad, ultimately the shard is stoned. So remember, only if the shard is a muad and the shard kills someone, then there is an obligation for kofar. So it says the Mishnah, shor shehu yatza lisakel, a shard is going out to be stoned, v'hikdishu bailav, interesting case. And as it's being led out by Beis Din to be executed, so the owner is makdish the shard. So what's the halacha? Eino makudash, eino mukdash. The halacha is that the consecration does not work. Similarly, shachtel, if the owner were to shecht the animal, again, remember, this is after the gemar din, this is after the animal has been judged that it's going to be executed. So if the owner shechts the animal, besara asr, the meat is asr. V'im ad shalom nigmar dino, but if the bazin has not yet handed down its verdict, hikdishu bailav mukdash, if the owner consecrated the animal, the consecration works. V'im shachtel, similarly, if the owner shechted the animal, besara mutter, then the meat is going to be mutter. So we'll say the idea over here is that essentially, once the animal, the idea of the Mishnah, we see this in other areas of halacha as well, once the verdict of the Beis Din has been handed down, the animal is considered as if it's already dead. So because of that, if you're makdish it, such a consecration ultimately, again, is meaningless. Similarly, if you shecht it, it's like shechting an animal that died without proper shechita, therefore it's not going to be good. However, again, before the verdict, it's just a regular shar, and therefore, technically speaking, the owner could be makdish it. The owner could shecht it and eat the meat. Masra l'shomer chinam, ul'shoel, ul'nosei schar, ul'socher. So I'll say, if the owner handed over the shar to a shomer chinam, shomer chinam, remember, is an unpaid custodian. Shoel is a borrower. Nosei schar is a paid custodian. Socher is a renter. Nichnesu tachas habailin. These individuals ultimately, again, come in the place of the owners. In other words, that they assume the same responsibility as the owners. Muad, if the animal is muad, mishalim nezek shalim. So therefore, again, I'm going to say, for example, if I handed over my animal to a shomer, look at Rashi for just a moment, masul the shomer chinam, Rashi says, achlo nagach, so if I went ahead and I went over and I handed over this animal to a shomer, so what's the halacha? The shomer essentially assumes the owner's responsibility. Therefore, if the animal is a muad, and ultimately the animal injures someone, the shomer is chayev for nezek shalim, and if the animal is a tam and injured someone, so ultimately the shomer pays chatsi nezek. Says the Yimar, Tan Rabbanan, Shor Shehemis, so the Brisa teaches the following, if a shor killed someone, Achlo Nigmar Dino, if the Bazin has not yet passed the verdict on the shor, Machro, and then what happened? And then the owner sold the shor, top of Memhei, so Machro, ultimately if he sold the shor, so the shor is considered to be sold. Hikdisho, similarly, if he was Makdish the shor, Mukdash, then the shor is considered to be Hekdish. Shachato, if he shechted it, Besaro Mutter, ultimately, the meat is mutter. So we'll say this is essentially just reflecting what we saw in the Mishnah. Before the Gemar Din, before the verdict, if the owner did anything with the shor, whatever he did is valid. Hechziru shomer lebeis bailov. Similarly, Rabbi, so listen to this. If let's say, so I have a shor, I gave it to a shomer to watch. While the shomer had it, the shor killed someone. But Beis Din has not yet gone ahead and passed the verdict, given judgment on the shor, and the shomer brings me back the shor before the verdict is passed. So what's the halacha? Mukhzar. So the shomer is considered to have returned the animal in perfect state, and the shomer has discharged his obligation. He's not on the hook for anything else. However, mishin nigmar dino, but if the shor killed someone, and Beis Din passed the verdict upon the shor, so what's the halacha? Machro eino machr. If you sell the shor, the sale is not valid. Hikdisho eino mukdash. If you're makdish the shor, the hekdish does not take effect. Shachat besaro aser. If you shecht it, the meat is going to be aser. Hechziru shomer the beis bailov. If the shomer returns, Rosh says, so now this is where the shomer returns the shor that killed someone. After Beis Din handed down the verdict, and remember, what does the verdict say? That the shor is going to be executed. Sechziru shomer the beis bailov. Eino muchser. Ultimately, again, the shor is not considered to be returned. As Rabbi say, that we do not say that Lemaise, again, the Shomer has returned the animal. Rather, the Shomer must replace the animal. Because once the verdict has been handed down, that animal is as if what? As if it no longer exists. So because it no longer exists, therefore, again, the Shomer is obligated to replace it. So Rabbi Yaakov says, no, af mishenigmar dino, hechziru Shomer lebailav mochser. So we'll say, this is amazing. So Rabbi Yaakov says that even after the verdict has been passed, so if the Shomer returns the animal, the Shomer is considered to have discharged his obligation and need not replace the animal in any way. So the Gemara says, Leimu v'hakam iflagi, maybe Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon are arguing about the following piece. We'll say, this is very interesting. The Rabbanon sadri, ein omrin bi suri hana, harei shal chalaf anecha. Both sides. So the Gemara posits over here that what they're arguing about is something quite fascinating, which is what happens if you return an object to someone, but at the end of the day, the object is asar b'hana. So for example, I borrow something from someone and I return the object to them, but there's only one problem, which is the owner of the object cannot get any benefit from the object itself. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Rabbanon say, if you return the object to the owner, but the owner can't get any benefit from it, then what? That's not considered returning the object, and you are on the hook. You, Shomer, are on the hook to replace the object. For Rabbi Yaakov Savar, Omrim bi surihana haresha chalafanecha. Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, says no, that when it comes ultimately to a surihana, so the Shomer has the right to say, look, I borrowed a cow from you, and what am I giving back to you? The same exact cow. You can't get any benefits from it because Beis Din went ahead and handed down a verdict that the shor has to be stoned. You take that up with Beis Din. You gave me a cow, I'm giving it back the cow. We're even. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, that can't be. Hadikuli alma, omrim bi suri hana harisha chalafanecha. But so listen to this. When it comes ultimately, so Rabba says this can't be the machlokes of Yaakov and the Rabbanon, and I'll tell you why. Because everyone agrees with the suri hana that you are permitted to say Hareshal Khalifanecha. The imke niflog le'inyon chametz bePesach. Rebbe say the paradigmatic example of this machlokes is chametz on Pesach. How does this case come up? Listen to this. I steal chametz from Reuven on the week before Pesach. So I steal a bottle of his scotch. Let's do it like this. A good bottle, like whatever. A good bottle of scotch. I'm sorry? Oh, so listen to this. So what happens? Over Pesach, Mamish, I'm inspired. I have here Hurei Tshuva. And I decide, you know what? After Pesach, I want to be a Baal Tshuva. So what happens? I go back to Reuven, and I say, Reuven, I'm so sorry. Here's your bottle of scotch. And what does Reuven say to me? Reuven says to me, that's very nice. You owe me $300. That's much of a bottle of scotch. So what if I'm giving back the scotch? There's only one problem, which is what Rebbe said. That bottle of scotch is now Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach, which means that when you have Chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach, one is not permitted to get benefit from that Chametz after Pesach. But it's the same exact bottle of scotch. So that's the paradigmatic example of a machlokes by Isure Hana'a. So Rabba says, everyone agrees that when it comes to a certain, we'll say, you know what else, this other case where this comes up? This comes up where I steal an esrog from Reuven. This is different. It's a different kind of situation. I steal an esrog from Reuven before Sukkis. It's a beautiful, beautiful esrog. $500 esrog. I steal it from him. Don't spend $500 on esrog. But you understand me. I steal it from him. I have here Hurei Tshuva. I come to his house. Isruchag. Steven, I'm so sorry. I want to do tshuva. Here's the esrog. So I'll say, of course, this is very nice. You owe me $500. So by the time, here's the esrog. So I'll say, you have this interesting machlokis in halacha where I'm giving back the same object, but the status of the object has changed. So how does halacha deal with that change of status? So Rabbi says, Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon can't be arguing about Isuri Hana, because at least Rabbi posits that everyone agrees when it comes to Isuri Hana, Harishal Chalef Anecha. Everyone agrees that Lamaisa, again, when you return an object that is now Asar Ba'ana, the person who's returning it has the ability to say to the owner of the object, I've discharged my obligation. I took something from you. I'm returning the object to you. Shalom Yisrael. I no longer have any other obligations. So the Gemara said, "Ella, what are they arguing about over here? Ella, hacha begomrim dino shal shor shal b'fanakum mefugi." Oh, Boaz said, "This is really fascinating." Here, the machlokes is about whether or not Beis Din passes judgment on a shar when not in the presence of a shar. In other words, does the shar have to be present in Beis Din in order for the Beis Din to hand down a sentence regarding the shar? The Rabbanan Savri, Ein Gomrim Dino Shal Shar El Befanav. So the Rabbanan say that Beis Din does not go ahead and adjudicate, does not pass a Pesak Din regarding the shar, not in the presence of the shar. So the shar has to be brought to Beis Din as well. But Jehovah say, makes sense. Why does it make sense? It sounds strange to us. Can you imagine bringing your shard to Beis Din? So also remember also is that by Pashtus you would think that you would want some type of edus about that shard that went ahead and killed someone, right? You would want the witnesses to say somehow that they know that it's that shard. That's the Rabbanan Shita. So the Gemara said, now listen to this. Therefore, the Amarle, the owner of the shard, says to the Shomer, Ihadrisa Nehele, Havi Ma'arakna Leila Agma. You know, Shomer, had you given me back my shar before the Gemar Din, I could have hidden my shar in the swamp. Which also has another way of saying that ultimately, again, that the owner could have said, look, I could have worked this out with the aggrieved party by, you know, putting, you know, the shar, you know, relocation program. I could have put my shar somewhere far away, hidden. And therefore, the shar cannot come to Beis Din. If the shar can't come to Beis Din, Beis Din can't go ahead and give the Pesak Din, and I could work out financial matters with the family of the person I killed. Hashta at v'sei l'turai v'yada to le'achil ma'lishtaya dina b'hadei. But now says the owner to the Shomer, you allowed my shard to be taken to Beis Din, ultimately again for the Gemar Din, and now I have no negotiating power. Therefore, according to the Rabbanon, if the Shomer shows up to return the shard after the Gemar Din, what's the halacha? The halacha ultimately is that the Shomer must go ahead and replace the shard. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov says, no, Gomrim dino shal shar shalom. So we'll say, according to the Rabbanan, there is a certain element, almost a fault on the part of the Shomer. It's almost like, according to the Rabbanan, if you're watching a shar and that shar kills someone, almost like the first order of business is, get that shar back to the owner. Let the owner deal with this. If you didn't get the shar back to the owner, and you decided to take care of the legal process, then lemaisa, you bear responsibility now for that animal. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov holds, Gomrim dino shal shar shalom b'fanav. So Rabbi Yaakov holds that no Beis Din could adjudicate the case of the shar without the presence of the shar. The Amar Lei, sof, hava migmar le gamir, hava migmar, excuse me, sof, migmar havu gamri le ledina. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi Yaakov says, that what the Shomer says to the owner is, look, at the end of the day, I didn't cause you any kind of loss by having the shar go to Beis Din. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, Beis Din could have adjudicated the case even without you as well. So my time with the Rabbanon. So we'll say, where did the Rabbanon get the logic? I mean, how did the Rabbanon know that Lamaisa, again, Beis Din has to adjudicate the case in the presence of the shar? Because the pasuk says, Hashar yisokel, v'gam ba'alav, you must, because the pasuk says, the shar shall be stoned, and also the owners will die. Kimisas habaylim kach misas hashar. So we'll say the Rabbanon say that the shar is executed, or the manner of execution of the shar is the same way that we administer a death penalty for people. How so? Ma baylim bifnehem, just like the owner of the shar, ultimately, again, the death sentence is administered in the presence of the people. And as well say, you can't go ahead and judge a capital case without the presence of the defendant. So af shar bifanav, so too again, when you are going to go ahead and judge a shar for misa, the shar must be present as well. Rabbi Yaakov says, come on. Bishlam abaylim b'nei tainaninhu. So it's logical why the defendant has to be present in a capital case. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because he could present a counter argument. He has the ability to defend himself. However, again, shar bar taina. So he is a shar. The shar has the ability to make a taina. In other words, that Rav Yaakov says that the idea of having the defendant present is a simple din in the adjudication process. You can't accuse someone of something without them being present. They have the ability to defend themselves. But that concept, of course, does not apply to a shar. Fine. So masra the shomer chinam. So we'll say ultimately again, if he gave it to a shomer chinam. He gave it to a shomer chinam, right? So he gave it to a shomer chinam. Ulashal tan rabbanam arba'an nichnusu tachas habayim. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara says over here there are four people that essentially take the place of an owner. In other words, there are four people that when they are entrusted with the care of an object, take on the status of the owner. Who are they? The Elohim, shomer chinam, an unpaid custodian, hashoel, borrower, nosei schar is a paid custodian, asocher, and a renter. So what's talocha? Hargu. If Rabbi say, if when one of these shomrim were watching the animal killed someone, so hargu, so tamin and neheragin, uptrim and akofer. So we'll say, if, let's say, again, I give my animal over to a shomer, so, or to any one of these four shomrim, four custodians. So what happens? Now my animal kills when it's in their domain. So what happens? Hargu, tamin, if the animal when it killed was a tam, then neheragin, the animal is killed. As we know, Rabbi says, talocha, uptrim and akofer. But again, remember, if the animal is a tam, there's no obligation for kofer. Mu'adin, however, if the animal is a mu'ad, neheragin, umishamin es akofer. If the animal is a mu'ad, then the animal is killed, and it pays kofer. V'chayavin lahachzir dimei shar lebailov. And Rabbi says, in that case, you have to go ahead and repay the value of the shar ultimately to the owner, chutz mi shomer chinam, with the exception ultimately again of the shomer chinam. So we'll say in all of these cases where the animal is going to be executed, because remember the animal is executed in all cases, in tam and muad, if the animal kills someone, the animal is executed. In all of these cases, the shomrim have to repay the value of the animal to the owner, chutz mi shomer chinam, with the exception ultimately again of shomer chinam, who unpaid custodian, who is not obligated to repay the value of the animal. Amri, so the Gemara says, so we said, hechi dami. So what's the case here? So we'll say, here's what we know. We know so far the Gemara tells us that when you hand over your shor to any of the dalit shomrim, the four custodians, those custodians essentially take on the responsibility of the owner of the animal itself. Therefore, again, if the animal is a tam and kills someone, the animal is executed, but no kofar. The animal is a muad and kills someone, the animal is executed and kofar. And in all of these cases, by the way, it's the shomer who's paying the kofar, and the shomer has to go ahead and repay the value of the animal to the owner, of course, with the exception of shomer chinam, unpaid custodian. What's the case? So if we're talking about a case where the shomer went ahead and watched the animal, and rashes over here, idinatre shmira mu'ula, if the shomer did its job and watched the animal in the appropriate way, afilu kulhu nami lifteru, then the truth is all of these people should be potter. In other words, why is it only the shomer? Meaning we'll say, if you do your due diligence as a shomer and you watch the animal and some unavoidable mishap occurs and damage occurs, you're not going to be responsible for that. So if that's the case that they're doing what we call a shmira mu'ula, proper guarding of the animal, so lemaisa, why is it that only the shomer chinam is potter? And if they're not guarding it properly, after the shomer chinam, I mean the chayiv, then a shomer chinam should be chayiv as well. So to which the Gemara says, Amri, hacham I ask, you know, what's the case here? The natri shmira pechusa, but the natri shmira meula. Oh, they both say the case over here is where they watch the animal, the shomer watch the animal, what we call a shmira pechusa. But the shmira pechusa means a basic watching. Rashi says, Shmir Pechusa, Delas Sheikhola Lamo Beruach Mitsuya. So what's the definition of Shmir Pechusa? They lock the animal in behind the door, and the door is capable of withstanding a regular wind. But it's not a very strong door, and can be kicked down with certain excessive force. Velonachi Shmir Mu'ula. Shomer chinam kalsalo shmiraso. So we'll say if you are an unpaid custodian, remember again, it's like most things in life. If you're unpaid, your level of liability is limited. So therefore, for a shomer chinam, when he's watching an object, the most he has to make sure is that what? That it's a shmira pechusa. That there's a basic guarding of the animal. As long as there's a shmira pechusa, he's discharges obligations. So in this case over here, when the shomer chinam put the animal behind the basic door that could stand up in front of a regular wind. Even if the animal gets out afterwards and kills someone, the Shomer Chinam is going to be pata from replacing the animal. Hanach, lo kalsa shmirasan, but these other custodians, Rabbi say, who are all paid, right, or who enjoy full use of the animal, so they do not get away with just a simple watching. They require shmira mu'ula. Amri kimas, whose opinion does this reflect? So the Gemara says, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, "Vahani lo kalsa shmiraso." Rashi, "Shechayav and hayu lischazek v'shmiraso shehe shamar lebaylov upshiyahi midi dahavi agave agneva va'aveda." So it says, see, these other shomrim should have provided a shmira mu'ula, a better shmira, better guarding, and because they didn't, they are considered to be posheya, they're considered to be negligent, and therefore they have to pay the owner. So the Gemara says, "Kiman." Whose opinion does this reflect? Ik Rabbi Meir, if you want to say it's like Rabbi Meir, Da'amar Amadeis, Da'amar Socher Kishomer Chinam. So I'll say Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, who says, and we'll see this, Rashi points out above Mitzia, who says that a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam. So we'll say, so remember, which means a Socher is a renter. So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion who says that a Socher, a renter, is like a Shomer Chinam, like an unpaid custodian. If that's the case, Lisni chutz mi Shomer Chinam v'hasocher. Then the Braisa should have said that all of these people are obligated to pay the owner back for the animal, with the exception of the Shomer Chinam and the Socher. And if you say, according to Rabbi Huda, the Braisa reflects of Rabbi Huda, who says that a socher, a renter, is like a no say schar, is like a shomer socher, then nisni chutz mi shomer chinam, then just let it say the exception of shomer chinam, vekulan bimuadin peturin le'inyan kofar, but all of them ultimately again will be pater in terms of kofar, to which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, we'll say, whose opinion does the Braisa reflect? Rabbi Elazar. It's Rabbi Elazar. The Amar, Ein lo shmira ela sakin. We'll say, we'll see this in the next Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that a muad animal, the only way to guard a muad animal is how? With a knife. Right? You kill it. And we'll see, by the way, we'll see the scope of his statement. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rabbi Elazar, he's the Amar. It's the last wide line on the top of Rashi. So b'mas nisan ein lo shmira lemuad ela sakin va'afilu shmira mu'ula. The Rabbis of the opinion that you cannot properly guard a muad animal, and even if you go out and you do what's called a shmira mu'ula, you guard it intensely, it's not enough. The only way to guard against a muad doing damage is literally to kill the muad. The chol shekein hay the shmira pachusa natre u'mishum hachin mishalmin kofer. Well, the inyan demei shard nami chayavin de aleihem l'shomro shmira mu'ula hoil uvenosei scharhim. So okay, let's see in the Gemara. Well, the inyan socher savor l'krav Yehuda damer socher kinosei schardom. So we'll say it's therefore again the Mishnah reflects of Rabbi Elazar says that a muad, the only shmira for a muad is going to be the sakin. Therefore, if the shomer is watching a muad animal and the muad goes in and does damage, he's going to be chayav for what? First of all, the animal is executed. He's chayav for kofar, and what? He has to replace the value of the animal as well. But in terms of a socher, in terms of a renter, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a socher is like a no-say schar. So the Gemara says, Abai Amar, the only one can Rabbi Meir. Really, the Mishnah goes ahead and reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Ukidemachlif Rabba Bar Avua Vitani. And ultimately again, so Abai comes along and says, really the Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, and we have to switch it around as Rabba Bar Avua did, Vitani, and teach it the following way. Socher Ketzad Meshalim. If a socher, if a person is renting the shar from the owner, how does he pay for damages? Rabbi Meir Omer Keshomer Socher. Rabbi Meir says like a paid custodian. Rabbi Huda Omer Keshomer Chinam. Rabbi Huda says like a Shomer Chinam. Fine. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Masra L'Shoro L'Shomer Chinam. Hizik. We'll say if I gave my shar to a Shomer Chinam, to an unpaid custodian, and the shar does damage. Chayev. The shomer is going to be chayev for damages. However, huzak, if the animal was damaged, potter. The shomer is potter. So, we'll hear this. So, I give my shor to a shomer chinam. If the shor does damage, the shomer is chayev. If the shor was damaged, the shomer is potter. So, Amri, so we say, hey, chidami, what's the case? Eid the kabel ale shmiras nizakov. So, we'll say, if the shomer went ahead and accepted upon himself responsibility for damages, then afilu hozak nami lichayif. Then even if the animal was damaged, so the shomer should be chayif for that. And if at the end of the day the shomer did not accept upon himself to guard the animal from damages, afilu hizik nami lifter, then even if the animal did damage, ultimately the shomer should be potter. So Rava said the olam shekibel alav shmiras nizakov. So Rava said in reality the case is where he accepted upon himself shmiras nizakov. He accepted upon himself to watch the animal for damages. So we'll say if that's the case, why is the shomer only chayiv when the animal damaged? He should be chayiv also what? When the animal was damaged. V'achama asking, and what's the case? Kegon shehikir boshu nagchot. We'll say, listen to this. When the shomer accepted shmira over the animal, he recognized that what? He recognized that the animal was a nagcha, that the animal was an aggressive animal. So watch this. The stama de milsa, below azil ihu umazik achrini kabel alei. So listen to this. So what was he? So he recognized he was accepting a shmir for an aggressive animal. So therefore, what does he have in mind? He realized he was accepting upon himself to guard the animal from damaging others. The asi achrini umazkile lididei. But to go ahead and think that this animal could be damaged by others, that he never had in mind, and therefore never accepted upon himself. Now, I will say, now this happens to be a fascinating sugya, because in the realm, ultimately, again, of shomer, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here, is that lamaisa, again, a shomer could go, depending on the das the shomer had, at the time that he accepted the object, could determine his ultimate liability. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, there's a case of a shomer who I know that if I'm the shomer, I know I'm accepting responsibility for an aggressive ox. And therefore, I'm accepting responsibility to make sure that this ox does not damage someone else. But lav dafka, but not necessarily that I'm taking responsibility to ensure that what? To ensure that what? That the ox doesn't get damaged by anyone else. There's a havamina that under those circumstances, the shomer would have limited liability. So listen to this. So the Rambam paskins, I'm going to go a little bit out of order on the halachos. The Rambam, this is in Hilchot Niske Mamon, Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Hamoser behemta l'shomer chinam olenose schar olusocher olushol nichnesu tachas habaylim. We'll say if you give over your shari, give over your animal, ultimately again to an unpaid custodian, to a paid custodian, to a renter, again we'll say in Bava Metzia, we'll get into all these different categories of shomrim. The halacha is nichnesu tachas habaylim. The shomer takes the place of the owner of the animal. And therefore, vim hezika, if the animal does damage while under the guardianship of the shomer, hashomer chayiv. The shomer is chayiv for damages. When is that so? Bizman shelo shamru haklal. That's only if what? If the shomer did not watch the animal at all. Avalim shamru hashmira mu'ula karoi, the yotzeis veziga, hashomrim peturim, vabailim chayovim, afilu hamisa asa'adam. I will say, listen to this. But here's what's interesting. Shomer is obligated to watch the animal in an appropriate way. Now, what appropriate means, obviously, is not an object, it's a subjective definition. It depends on the nature of the animal, depends on where you are, depends on all different. But let's assume for a moment, assuming the shomer did what it was supposed to do, the halacha is, the shomer is freed from liability. But who does have liability? The owner. So we'll say, see, here's this incredible idea. So shomer, that Rambam Paskins, takes the place of the owner for liability. But once the shomer has guarded the animal in an appropriate, appropriate way, the shomer discharges obligations. If the animal still does damage, then the shomer is exempt and the owners are obligated. However, shamruha shmira pechusa, if the shomer did not watch the animal sufficiently, im shomer chinam hu pater, im shomer sakar asokar shol chayav. So we'll say, this is what we just saw. If for a shomer chinam, he's only obligated to provide a shmira pechusa, a basic watching. So even if the animal gets out and damages, the shomer chinam is going to be pater. But the other shomerim who have an obligation to provide a shmira meula, a more intense guardianship of the animal, if the animal gets out and damages, they will be chayav. So that is, in fact, the halacha lemaaseh. So let's see the Mishnah.
In the case of a shomer, would you put somebody to death? Either the bailim or the shomer?
So remember again, when we speak about bailim being put to death, that's not literal. Right? Remember again, we understand the bailim being put to death, the Chazal interpret as kofar. So yes, so the answer will be that if the shomer does a proper shmira, the shor gets out and kills someone, So the shomer is going to be pater. Owners will be obligated ultimately again for kofar in that case. That is correct. So shomer will be killed, and owners are obligated for kofar. Says the Mishnah, kashu baila b'maseira v'nal b'fanav karai. So we'll say, now we're going to talk about again ways in which people, owners, went ahead and did what they felt was a proper shmira for their animal. So kashu ala baila b'maseira. So let's say the owner tied up the shor. Maseira literally means with reins, but it means like a rope. And it closed the door in front of the shomer, in front of the shar, appropriately, and yet still biyotze v'hizik. The animal got out and did damage. Echad tam ve'echad muad chayiv. So where the animal is a tam, where the animal is a muad chayiv. To Rabbi Meir. So we'll see these words, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says no. Tam chayiv a muad pater. So we'll say this is going to be a very dramatic shita. So Rabbi Huda says that if the animal is a tam, he said the owner tied up the animal and guarded the animal in a proper way, but the animal still got out. Rabbi Huda says, if the animal is a tam and does damage, so ultimately the owner will be chayiv. But if it's a muad, ultimately again the owner will be pater. We'll say, you hear that counterintuitive logic? If the animal is a tam and got out, the owner is chayiv. If the animal is a muad and got out, the owner is pater. Shnei amar, v'lo yishmarenu bailav. Because we'll say the pasuk, when talking about a muad, says, when is an animal, how does the Torah describe a muad? That the owner does not watch it. Rabbi Huda understands that if the owner does watch it, even in some basic way, so the owner will not be chayiv for the damages of a muad. Rabbi Lazar Omer, ein lo shmira el asakin. And Rabbi Lazar, as we just said before, that a muad, there's no proper shmira for a muad unless you go ahead and you kill it. So my time, Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's logic? So remember, Rabbi Meir is the one who said that if you went ahead and you tied up your shor in the appropriate way, you closed the door in front of it, and it still got out, that you are pater. That ultimately, you are chayiv. If the shor got out, you're chayiv, or whether the tam, whether it's muad, you're chayiv. So says the Gemara. What's Rabbi Meir's logic? Kasav, Rabbi Meir holds, stam shvarim lav b'cheskas shimor kaimi. Because Rabbi Meir said that we make the assumption that most people do not properly guard their oxen. Rashi says, "Lav d'cheska shimur kaimi ein adam mishamer shorok klal elamani choviyotze." Most people don't properly guard their animals. Therefore, va'amrachmana, and therefore the Torah says, "Tam nechayiv dini boy leishmira pechusa." So therefore, I will say, what happens? The Torah says, by the fact that the Torah makes me chayiv for damages that my tam animal does, chatzin nezek for my tam animal. What is the Torah trying to tell me? What's the message? Watch over your animals. Right? Meaning, Ramirez says the Torah understands that most people don't watch over your animals. The Torah penalizes me for damages that my tam animal does as a way of giving me the message, watch your animal. Hadra amrachmana. But again, I would have thought, I would think, however, that all the animal really requires is what? Is a simple, what we call a shmir pechusa, just a simple guarding. Adam Rahmana. Then the Torah comes along and says again, "V'lo yishmerenu gabi muad dinei bailei shmira mu'ula." Then the Torah again says, "V'lo yishmerenu," tells us that the owner didn't watch him by muad, which teaches us that what? That a muad requires shmira mu'ula. Muad doesn't require just the basic watching, but a muad requires additional watching. V'yalef negicha letam negicha lemuad. And we make a gzir shava of negicha by tam, goring by tam animal to a goring by the muad animal, to teach me that what? That just as the muad animal requires shmira yisera, requires an additional watching, so too what? The tam animal does also. And therefore, again, in the case of the Mishnah, where a person only performed a shmira pechusa, a basic guarding of the animal, and the animal gets out, you're going to be chayiv where the animal is a tam, whether the animal is a muad. Because Rabbi Meir's basic shita is every single animal requires shmira mu'ula. Rabbi Huda says, no. Stam shor mecheska shimur kaimi. On the other hand, Rabbi Huda holds, then no, most people go ahead and watch their shor. Also, you watch this. Rashi says, "Stam shvar mecheska shimur kaimi im lecha adam shenu mishamer sharo." There's no such thing as a person who doesn't watch. Everybody watches their shor. At least the shmira pechusa, the chayiv hakasa betam. So what happens? So Rabbi Huda says people watch their shvarim, and therefore amrachmana tam nishalim dini bailei shmira meula. So the fact that the Torah, stam people watch their shar, when the Torah makes the owner of the tam who does damage chayiv, what is the Torah saying to the owner of the tam? You have to watch your animal even more. That a tam requires shmira meula. Hadra amrachmana v'lo yishmer gabi muad. then the Torah comes along and says that you have to essentially watch your what animal. So now, what is that called? That's called Habe Riboy Acha Riboy. So, you hear this? So in Rabbi Yehuda's worldview, people watch their oxen. People watch their oxen. Therefore, the Torah comes along and tells me to guard my muad ox, my tam ox. The Torah is telling me that a tam ox requires shmira mu'ula. That you have to give it's not enough just to give your animal shmira, but who's a basic watching? You have to guard your animal in additional watch that so doesn't have to give damage. Then the Torah comes along and says, again, by a muad animal, that you have to watch your animal, which tells me again that my muad animal also requires what we call a shmira mu'ula, an additional watching. Says the Gemara, or says Rabbi Yehuda, that's riboy acha riboy. So we'll say the Torah is giving a riboy acha riboy, two consecutive riboy. And we'll say a riboy is an inclusive statement. So the Torah is teaching me that a tam had needs a shmira mu'ula, and then the Torah says the same thing again by a muad. What's the point? Ve'in riboy acha riboy ela lemait. We'll say one of the exegetical principles is a riboy acha riboy, that whenever the Torah does two ribuyim in a row, ultimately, again, it's coming to be memayit. It's coming to exclude something. What is it coming to exclude? And this is going to blow your mind. So, miyei takasa l'shmira mu'ula. So, ultimately, again, the Torah is coming to teach me that what? That a muad does not require shmira mu'ula. That the Rebbe said that it's only a tam that requires a shmira mu'ula, excessive watching, but a muad does not. The chiteima negicha l'tam, negicha l'muad. But I will say, why don't we equate? Remember, like we said before, like the gzeir shava of negicha from tam to muad. Ultimately, the Torah says the v'lo yishmerena is referring ultimately to this one. In other words, the Torah is telling me that there's only an obligation of shmira meula by this one, by the tam, and not by another one, not by the muad. I have a haimi bari le lav. But 1 second, we need that pasuk to teach me the lav. Therefore, the Torah could have just said, "Velo yishmar." He didn't watch it. Teaching me that I require to guard the animal. My velo yishmarenu. What does it mean? He did not watch it. Lazeh velo laacher. To teach me that what? That the obligation to guard it with shmira mu'ula is for this one and not that one. So we'll say, this is a mind-blowing sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is actually of the opinion that a tam requires shmira mu'ula, and a muad does not. The tam requires, again, additional watch with muad. You say, how do you come to a sheet like that? So what's your current interview? It's very simple. It's not logic. It's not logic. What is it? What is it? Essentially, it's Gzeiras HaKasef. It's the psukim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what we have over here is we have a riboy acha riboy. The Torah tells me in two consecutive places that I have to watch the animal. When the Torah, see, I'll say, had you just told me, had the Torah just said, v'lo yishmarna b'ilav by tam, I would have learned that if the Torah is telling me that I require, I'm obligated to watch my tam animal, then what? Then what? Then it goes without saying that it's a shmira mu'ula, and of course I have to do that for a muad animal. Why does the Torah have to say it again by a muad animal? So Rabbi Yehuda's darshanic world, what that is a riboy acha riboy. It's an inclusive phrase after an inclusive phrase. And again, I will say, just that it's an exegetical principle. Whenever you have riboy acha riboy, it creates a miut. It creates an exclusion. So what's the exclusion over here? Rabbi Yehuda says the exclusion is by muad. That a muad literally only requires shmira pechusa and not shmira mu'ula. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echad tam ve'echad muad, shesham shmira pechusa pater. So we'll say, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, another shita, he holds that both for tam and for muad, all you require is shmira pechusa. Just the basic guarding of the animal. My time, or what's the reason? So on one hand, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a muad only requires a shmira pechusa. V'yalef negicha l'tam u'negicha l'muad. Rabbi says it's interesting, and he holds of the gzir shava of negicha from tam to muad. It tells you that just as muad only requires shmira pechusa, so to tam also requires shmira pechusa. Rabbi says, see here, Rabbi Elazar did. Rabbi Elazar took a hybrid shita of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. He took the fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that what, that a muad only requires only require a Shmira Pachusa, and he uses the Gzera Shavav Negicha Negicha Rabbi Meir to teach me that just as Mur only requires Shmira Pachusa, so to what? Tam only requires Shmira Pachusa as well. So we'll say, we are left over here with a three-way machlokes. So according to Rabbi Meir holds, first of all, Stam Sharanam, Rabbi Meir holds that people don't normally watch their Shvarim. Person doesn't normally watch their Shvar. Therefore, the Torah says that Lamaisa, again, a Tam requires a Shmira Pachusa, and the Torah once again reinforces the need of Shmira by a Mu'ah to teach me that a Mu'ah requires Shmira Mu'ula. So according to Rabbi Meir, Tam Shmira Pachusa, basic guarding, Mu'ad Shmira Mu'ula, an additional guarding. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, mind-blowing Shita, Tam requires Shmira Mu'ula, alright, additional guarding. Mu'ad requires what? Shmira Pachusa, lesser of guarding. Rabbi Lazar, hybrid Shita, he holds that both Tam and Mu'ad only require Shmira Pachusa. He gets that again from the Mu'ad, he learns that like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tam, ultimately, he learns that from the Gzeir Shava of Negicha, Negicha. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this piece, Emirat Hashem, tomorrow. Let me share with you a short idea on the parasha.